some praise in here. We got to learn how to worship God in the midst of persecution. Worship God in the midst of adversity. Come on and say amen in here. But the thing I love about this is that those soldiers were doing what Saul told them to do. And he sent them three times. He said, won't y'all go get David for me? And every time somebody went, the church got bigger. The church got, oh, come on and say amen. Every time he sent a group, they just joined the church. You see, what we got to do is not worry about the devil that comes in the door, because God, if the devil sends somebody in here, they'll, next thing you know, they'll join the church, because we, oh, come on and say amen. There is a conversion, because of a conviction, because there is a word from the Lord. Oh, come on and give God some praise in the house today. Oh, glory be to his name. But what I love even more about it is that Saul says, since I couldn't get them to come back, I think I'm going to go see about this my own self. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, Saul said, I'm going to check this thing out myself. And he got on his horse and he rode down to Ramah. And he said, now he stopped at what they call a well. The place CQ, what it means, it really means the lighthouse. He stopped at the lighthouse and he asked the watchers, where is Saul and Samuel? Because he had heard that David had went to Samuel. He knew that I can't do nothing with Samuel, so but I'm going to ask him to let me have David. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to God. But he went to the lighthouse and asked them, because he knew that the people at the lighthouse see everything. Uh-huh. And what I'm trying to say here is that the lighthouse represents the people of prayer and intercessory, and they can see some stuff that you can't see. They know things that you don't know, because they're always in prayer. They always got to watch for eye. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because Jesus tells us that we ought to watch and pray. Oh, come on and say amen in here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I want to be in the watchtower. I want to be able to see what's going on. I want to be able to pray. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And the Bible says that Saul went on past that, and when he got near, the presence of God was so thick that before he even got there, the Bible says in verse 23 that the Spirit of God was upon him. Oh, so I wish I had somebody. Before he even got there, God started dealing with him. Before he even made it there, God started working on him. Before he even met up with David and Saul, God started messing around with Saul. And oh, come on and say, man, here, we got to understand that we can't fight this battle ourselves. Ain't nothing you can do but praise God in the battle. Oh, come on and say, man, ain't nothing you can do except give God some praise, because the devil will try to do what he wants to do. The people will try to do what they want to do. But thanks be.
Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Psalm circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Just a little while, we'll speak on the subject, lessons from the wise men. Lessons from the wise men. So many of us have mixed emotions about Christmas. Christmas means so much to so many, as Santa Claus, reindeers, snowmen and snow, mistletoe and Christmas lights, Christmas trees, presents and gifts, wonderfully prepared meals, family, new clothes, new things, new relationships, etc., etc., etc. All of that we focus on during this season of Christmas. And my brothers and sisters, one of the most important things for us to realize is that with all of those wonderful things I just mentioned, none of them are the reason for Christmas. So consequently, if your Christmas is messed up, it's because your focus is messed up. Because you can't focus on the wrong thing and expect the right thing to happen. And so many people in our world today, one of the reasons why this year or this time of the year is so devastating and disappointing to so many is because our focus is altogether wrong. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy those things that I just mentioned. Certainly they do come with a celebratory part of Christmas, the celebration, the mass of celebrating Christ. All of those things are wonderful, but they are not the main event. They're not the reason for all of those things being in existence. They are just a part of the party. They are not the person of celebration of the party. They just are the accompaniments to enjoy and to be celebrative and festive with. But to put them as the center of our focus, even getting gifts or giving gifts, even if our money runs funny and we can't give what we want, we don't feel like it's a good Christmas, or we disappointed somebody or someone because we couldn't give them what we wanted to give them. And again, the focus is wrong. And so you are messed up because you couldn't give what you wanted to give, or you didn't get what you wanted to get. If that's your reason for Christmas, you might have another bad Christmas this year. But if you really want to have a good Christmas and don't have to have money in your pocket, if you really want to have a good Christmas and don't have nobody in your life talking about, hang on the mistletoe, I'm going, ain't nobody for you to get to know better this Christmas. But you can still have a good Christmas if you recognize what the true and real meaning of Christmas is all about underneath your skin. Listen, because this is important for you. It can be life-changing from this Christmas on until God calls you home. You'll never have a bad Christmas again if you keep your focus like the wise men did on what Christmas is really
all about. Can I help you today? Well, can I help you help somebody else today? Because I know you got it together. You know it all. You all that. And that. Yeah, but you still got your long face on and you still ain't right. And you still thinking about what you got to do yet before tomorrow morning. And all the rest. You in his house thinking about what you got to do at your house. You still messed up for Christmas. So I believe you can be helped if you let me help you this morning. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, that came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And it's important to understand they're known as Magi, or the Magi. And the reason they are called that is because these were men, some suggest from the Medo-Persian area, who were former kings and those who were potentates. But after they lost their power, etc., these specific group of men became like wise men, holy men. They were very apt in mathematics, astrology, science, and history. They were like the Albert Einsteins, if you will, of that day and time, and yet holy all together as well in their land and time. If men were to make sacrifices to God, their hearts were toward knowing the God that defeated them, and they had to be a part of these celebrations to give credence to them. So these were holy men who knew the word and knew history, and being astronomers, they saw that a star had appeared in the heaven. Now, it was not just a phenomenon that happened. It was one that was expected because they were looking for the prophecy to be fulfilled. They were looking for this king. They knew when they would see that star that the Lord God would have given to this earth a baby born as a king. They knew from their journey from the far east heading west to Jerusalem that when they saw that star, men from different areas of the east, but all wise men, all intellectually inclined men, all holy men, they started on their journey to meet this baby king. So they headed to Jerusalem. And one of the things the record says is, if I might just, if you'll permit me to skip over verse 2 and go to verse 3, because I want to really deal with verse 2 and I don't want to rush it. So I want to show you that it's important that you understand Herod's position. Now, Herod, who was the king, it's important to know that Herod was part Jew and part Edomite. And the Romans had seen the way that Herod had governed in civil wars, etc., and they raised him to be the king of this province. Now, one of the things that you're going to note about Herod is that Herod was a treacherous man. He was a terrible man. He was a terror to himself and all Jerusalem. That's why the Bible says when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, listen, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, why was Herod troubled? Now, because one of the things that you've got to know is that Herod loved power, and he hated anyone who introduced a threat to his power. Herod was ruthless. Herod didn't care about nobody and nothing but Herod. Listen, history shows that Herod killed his wife, his eldest son, and two others of his son because he believed they plotted against him to take his position. And because of that, Herod had them killed. Can I tell you, if you'll take out your family, you'll take anybody else's family out? It is said that when Herod got old and he knew he was about to die, he went to his favorite city, Jericho, and he ordered his men to take the noblemen of Jerusalem and to trump up charges against them and put them in jail until they heard that Herod was dead. And when they heard Herod was dead, then they had orders to kill them. Do you have any idea why? Because Herod had sense enough to know that nobody was going to weep for him. So since nobody was going to weep for him, he felt he would get some good men killed so that there'd be some weeping in the city at the time of his death. I'm trying to paint the picture of Herod, so you will understand why Herod did what he did to all of those babies 2 years and under. He had no heart. He wanted no competition. He wanted to be the king forever, but he knew that would not happen. So as long as he could live, he tried to cut down any force, any person, any potentate, any power who would come against him. And so Herod is troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And Jerusalem had a good reason to be troubled with him, because they know Herod was a hellion. And if Herod got mad, it wasn't good for nobody. So now let me back up and just share some other things with you. Because one of the things Herod knew was, one, he was not born king of the Jews. Matter of fact, he was not the king of the Jews. He was the king of a region, of a place. Jesus was the only one that was born king of people. Let me help make that plainer to you, because what you need to understand is that accomplishment was something Herod could never, ever, ever have, because he was not born king of anything, and he certainly was not born king of the Jews. He was made king over a province that included Jerusalem and all Judea, Bethlehem, and all of those areas, but those were places, not people. They held people, but he was the king of those places. But Jesus was born king of the Jews, God's chosen people, half of Herod's birthright. Second thing Herod was troubled about was the fact that these wise men came seeking Jesus because Jesus had gotten something in heaven that Herod never did. Jesus had his own star. Herod never had his own star. So he's looking at this Jesus with jealousy and enviousness, and all of these things are mounting as he hears about this Jesus. Listen. And then the third thing about this Jesus that disturbed him is that these wise men came to worship Jesus and not Herod, the seated king, the ruling king. See, the way that works is you honor and you bow and you give homage to the seated king, not the coming king. And Herod noticed that they did not compromise their ability to keep their minds stayed on Jesus. So Herod was disturbed because Herod wanted to be everything as a grown man that Jesus was as a baby. Amen. So let's go back to verse 2 and let me spend a minute or two before I let you go celebrate Christmas. Listen. One, the Bible says, saying, where is he? Underline he, underscore it. That is born King of the Jews. For we have seen his, underscore his, star. Listen. For we have seen his star. His star in the east. And are come to worship him, underscore him. And one of the ways to have a very Merry Christmas this year and for the rest of your life, in the midst of all of the celebration, the songs, the gifts, the this, the that, the other, have your ultimate focus on Jesus. The wise men's ultimate focus was on Jesus. Listen at me well. Their ultimate focus was on Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, because it's important for you to recognize, until you make up your mind, until your heart is fixed, that the ultimate focus of your celebrating Christmas Day is the Christmas child, Jesus Christ, you will never be guaranteed of having a Merry Christmas because your focus is wrong. You see, the spirit of truth can only bear witness to the truth. And when you focus on everything other than the truth, the Holy Ghost cannot bring joy and peace underneath your skin when your focus is not on the truth. And so it's important for you to recognize you don't need money to have a Merry Christmas. You don't need a honey to have a Merry Christmas. You don't need toys and you don't need this and that and the other. You need Jesus in order to have a Merry Christmas. Jesus came to make your Christmas merry. And I'm going to let you in on a helpful holy hint here. Your everyday merry. Because he was born, hope was born, life was born, truth was born, grace was born. And all of that means that through Jesus Christ, we are victors. And we need to stop living as victim. Why has this happened to me? Because God thought you strong enough to handle it. God's working on you. God's working with you. God's working for you. God's working on your behalf. Don't you think you need to participate in some part? You want all of the blessings of the Lord, but you don't want to go through nothing for them. Putin, it don't work like that. No, you have got to be a part. Whatever he wants to do through you, who belong to him, ought to be all right with you. And if Jesus could come and die for you and make things right with God for you, then you ought to be able to do whatever he wants you to do. Because your life, when it belongs to Christ, is no longer your life. But his life lives in you. And so, my brothers and sisters, listen at this. You have to have your ultimate focus on Jesus. Somebody say, ultimate focus on Jesus. The That's the first thing you need to do to have a Merry Christmas this year and the rest of your life. If you do that, number one, you will discover that the Spirit of the Living God will utilize that name, that relationship, that reality underneath your skin to provide what your spirit man needs. And when you have that ultimate fellowship with the Spirit of God about Jesus, He'll give you a joy you've never experienced before. I'm talking about stuff can't do nothing with. See, a whole lot of you got a lot of stuff, a whole lot of you giving a lot of stuff. But the problem is your soul needs more than stuff. And your soul needs that which is real. And that's Jesus Christ. So your ultimate focus must be on Jesus. But there's something else we can learn from the wise men. The word says, for we have seen his star in the east. Listen, the next thing is united fellowship. One of our biggest problems is that many of us fellowship with the wrong folk. How are you going to have a Christmas party with folk who don't know Christ? You might get some joy juice, but it's not the joy from Jesus that the Spirit brings. You might be able to have a little happiness momentarily, but if you really want joy underneath the skin to be able to hold you and to comfort you and to minister to you, that comes only from Jesus. And listen, you ought to want to have a fellowship with folk who love the Lord like you love him, folk who are looking for the Lord and all of the wonderful things that he does and is doing and will do in our lives. And you ought to want to be with folk who want to celebrate him rather than themselves. You know, I don't care how many folk you pull the names of and buy presents for. I don't care how many people shower you with gifts. If you don't have the gift of Jesus Christ, you are just as empty on the inside, because none of those things are going to bring you the true joy your heart desires. And how many times have you opened up gifts and pretended like, you know, this for me, you shouldn't have. No, really, you shouldn't have. You know, and you don't know what those folk went through to get you that gift, but it can't meet the needs underneath the skin. But listen, when you got joy underneath the skin, whether they get you something or not, if it's a good fellowship with another believer, it's like, listen, we know it ain't about us, but we're together to make his praise more glorious. Let's give him glory. Let's praise his name. Let's thank God in heaven for Jesus. And you begin to think of his goodness and speak of his goodness, and Christmas takes on a whole nother meaning without a penny in your pocket. I'm not talking to all of you super blessed folk with money and enough to spare, and you know, you just shop till you drop and you got all. I'm not talking about y'all, because y'all think y'all don't need what I'm telling you today. I'm trying to talk to the folk who need this today. Folk who are going through, folk who are hurting,
folk who feel like they've lost some loved ones who should be here. But I got news for you. They're in a better place than we are. We need to get our focus right. Jesus came, died, rose, ascended, and is on the right hand of the Father. And we should be so blessed that when our time comes, we'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord and rejoice. Don't make this no sad Christmas because they're not there. They're hoping you would be with them. You talking about not like, wait now, you just go ahead on, Grandma. Enjoy.